do thank you very much indeed for taking time to watch the video, and we trust that the Lord will draw near to you. Maybe you have particular needs tonight, and we're trusting that He will minister to your heart and that He will meet your need at this time. It is important that God's people continue to pray, of course, and I know that I'm speaking to the converted, you know that, and we want to pray continually that the Lord will heal our land spiritually. Pray that even at this time, the pandemic will continue to disappear. There has been good progress in recent days, and there is chat, as we mentioned to you the other day, about when the Republic of Ireland is opening up their churches again on the 29th of June. There is no reason why they should not be doing that here in Northern Ireland. We can maintain social distancing there. Pray to that end, and that kind of news will be confirmed in the days ahead. Also tonight, we want to pray for those who are unwell. Do you remember our brother Robert Green, who's quite unwell at this time? And there are others through the country that you know of who are very sick in these days, and we pray that the trust of the Lord will meet their need and give them grace and help and encouragement. Pray one for another. That's so important for the congregation, that we do remember each other in prayer. And do pray, please, again for the messages as we put them up on sermon audio and on Facebook. Continue to receive encouragements from different places. I had a text just this afternoon from that come from the home of a lovely young couple that I met some time ago. Really, really nice people, and would go out of their way just to encourage you, and great company to be in. Really, really genuine people, and it was nice to have them get in contact to say that they were being helped through the messages on Facebook and so on. Do pray that the Lord will use them for His glory, and that precious souls will be saved. So again, you're very welcome tonight, and we do trust that between 8:30 approximately and 9:30, as we seek the Lord together, that He will hear and answer our prayers. We're going to read tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 33, just a few verses there at the beginning of the chapter. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 1, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together." It is to those words that are found at the beginning of verse 3 in this chapter that I want to direct your attention tonight, and leave with you a few remarks that I hope will be helpful to you, where it says there, yea, he loved the people. These were remarkable words, and no doubt they were words that would remind people of the Lord's love, and words that would encourage them too. The very worst indictment that God can make on any person, whoever they are, is, as the Saviour said to those who had the opportunity to listen to him, and they were unbelieving, the unbelieving Jews. He said in John 5 and 42, "I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." What an awful indictment that is. "I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." And you see, whatever else an individual man or woman may possess, if they are a soul that is without the love of God, they are empty of all that is really true life. And their soul tonight lies under condemnation. We come to pray this evening, and you have loved ones, and so have I. And that's exactly where they are. Some of them have much. Some of them haven't as much. But all of them without the Saviour are without life and under condemnation tonight. But by contrast, when there is true spiritual life That's what you have, Christian, and I have as well. When we were saved, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and with us there is what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, some Christians grow quicker than others, and sometimes people, it takes quite a while for them to get to Christian maturity, and the fruit of the Spirit needs cultivating in their life. And the Lord helps greatly with that as we walk with Him and avail ourselves of the means of grace that He has provided for us. But nonetheless, the fruit of the Spirit is there. And the fruit of the Spirit, well, is love. That's what the Bible shows us. The Holy Spirit produces a love for God within a Christian. You didn't always love Him. But when we saw what He did for us and we came to Him, then we can say that we love Him because He first loved us. The Spirit also produces in the child of God a love like God's love, because we love what He loves, and we should do that, and hate what He hates. More than that, we love whom He loves. We should love God's people greatly and have a love for the souls of men and women. We love what He loves, we love whom He loves, but we should also love how He loves. And true love will sacrifice. True love will live in a selfless way if it is for the benefit of others. You may have noticed on our Facebook page that we put up just recently a little post of our brother and sister, Mr. and Mrs. Foster in Uganda. And when you think of them, or indeed any preacher, and you say, well, why did you give up your life's ambition? It is because we love what He loves, and we want to do what He would have us to do. But with this love, a Christian can face life and death and judgment with confidence. You can read 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 17. So whenever the Spirit indwells us, it produces in us a love for the Lord and a love like the Lord. Of course, we are not, can't love as He does, but we are to try to love others and to do our best for them. But tonight I want to think a little bit about God's love for us in Christ. God's love for you in Christ. Over there in Romans and chapter 5, I'm just going to read you what it says. Will you give me a moment? Book of Romans and chapter 5. Reading what it says in verse 5, it says there, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Where it says there, shed abroad in our hearts, it literally means poured forth. The love of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And tonight I want to look with you at these words in Deuteronomy 33 and 3. I was often struck by them, and when I considered the people that were spoken about and how the Lord many a time had been grieved, we read these words, "Yea, He loved the people." And even though what we read about was a long time ago, should He love you and I today any less? I want you to notice, first of all, in His love for us, God has plans for us, His people. Men and women, we naturally, when we come to know the Lord, we feel we have a long way to go. I heard a man just recently speaking, and he wasn't actually giving his testimony. He was just saying a very little word about when he was saved. That was all he said, really. And he said, "I was a new Christian, and he said I had a new faith, but very little sense." And then he went on to say that the Lord helped him greatly and the Lord brought him along. And you know, we often think of those great words that sometimes are repeated over at weddings and various places, and people leave them with young people that they might hold on to them and that they might benefit from them. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, it does say there in verse 5, we are to lean not on our own understanding. We tend to do that. And God has given us an understanding, and we are to use it in a wise way. But we're not to lean on our own understanding. We're to lean on Him when it comes to guidance, because that is what these verses are about. They are about guidance. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. The word translated there, acknowledge, simply means to know. It is from the same root as the meaning to own as an acquaintance or to distinguish by marks. To distinguish by marks or to own as an acquaintance or to know. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And if that is the case, He will be the object of our heart worship as we seek guidance along life's pathway. He will be the recipient of honour as we seek to live for Him. We will honour Him or try to honour Him with our words and in our ways and with our works. He will always be one who we look to. And that's really what these verses are saying to us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Remember, the point here is He makes plans for us, and His plans are always superior to ours. They're always better than ours, and they're always of more benefit for us if we will follow after Him. You might ask yourself the question tonight, would He plan wrongfully for us? You remember the people that we were talking about there in Deuteronomy 33 and 3. Sometimes they let Him down really badly, and they didn't honour Him. But it still says there, yea, He loved the people. And does He love you any less? Think of what it says over there in the book of Malachi concerning Him. Again, just give me a moment. It's the book of Malachi. It says there in chapter 3 of Malachi, it says, then that feared the Lord spake often one to another. It's verse 16. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon His name. That thought upon His name. And those words are very important, because this is not a kind of a fleeting moment that we think upon Him. In the original language, the words thought upon Him, they literally mean count Him in, or to count in. The expression is one which belonged to the work of an accountant, today we could say even a treasurer, who would count in the offering and put it in a ledger or a book, and he counts it all in. And really, this verse is showing us those who, they concerning the Lord, they counted Him in. And then He refers to them in the next verse. We've looked at it before. He refers to them as His jewels. And as we count Him in, brethren and sisters, He will make good plans for us. Plans for us as individuals, plans as a congregation, plans as a people, and a force for Him in this nation which is fast ripening for the judgment of God. Over there again in the Psalm number 32, it says in Psalm 32 and the verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, if you have a margin Bible, you will see where it says there, I will guide thee with mine eye. In Hebrew, it literally means, I will counsel thee, mine eye shall be upon thee. He will keep us right. Maybe speaking to you in an ordinary meeting in the church, or maybe in your own time of searching the scriptures, the Lord has given you a word of assurance or direction, and He's counseled you. Maybe you're going to take a wrong turn, and the Lord has stepped in and He's helped us there. He's counseled us because His eye is upon us. We're looking here at the Lord making plans for His people because He loves us. Yeah, He loves the people. And some right now are wondering about the future. as we move out of lockdown, many are very unsettled regarding their jobs, worrying about their businesses. Some are worrying about the whole education system. They're worrying about the effect that the lockdown may have had on younger people. And the future, well, it doesn't seem just so clear. And when that is the case, anxiety can come creeping in. And you and I think of the young people and they look around them and they see wickedness everywhere. They think, well, where can I fit in here? Well, Jeremiah, we read there, thou art the guide of my youth. See, it doesn't matter from our earliest days. Thou art the guide of my youth. William Freeman Lloyd wrote in his lovely hymn, wrote the words, my times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. Brethren and sisters, the Lord that led Israel like a flock. Yes, he led them like a flock in spite of themselves. Do you think will he leave me or you to find our own way? He will not. Speaking to a colleague on the phone just a couple of weeks ago there, speaking about his congregation, and speaking about men who had recently moved to another congregation, speaking about the work of God in general. And then he concluded, whenever we were coming near the end of our conversation, he said, brother, really, God's will is really all that matters. So it is. And there's no happier place for a Christian to be than in the will of the Lord. And that's something that you and I can pray about tonight, that the Lord would show us continually his plan for us, and that he would show to our children his plan for them as well. Yea, he loved the people. He has plans for us, but he also provides for us. He provided real and lasting salvation for us. We are eternally, the eternal security of our souls depends upon him, and surely he is able to provide us with everything else that we need. You see, there's often a difference between what we want and what we need. I was thinking just recently about the wedding of our brother Robert Green and Charlotte, and at that wedding, at the reception, when Robert was speaking and he spoke about his mother and father and his home life, he said, well, I wouldn't say I always got what I wanted, but I always got what I needed. That was good. I wouldn't say I always got what I wanted, but I always got what I needed. And the scripture shows us that God gives us what we need. You see, he is not limited by that which seems around us to be the state of things. You're very aware of Elijah being fed by the ravens, ravens being an unclean bird, and yet they were used to feed him. And the Lord met his need there. And as the Lord met Elijah's bodily need, he's able to meet your need. He's able to meet all of our supply now. And we're thinking here of him providing for us because he loves us. He's able to provide for us, not necessarily what we want. We did mention our brother Robert, you want to pray for him. Maybe just at this moment in his life, he's not getting what he wants. But the Lord is able to give him everything that he needs. Everything that he needs. And we want to pray to that end. He provides for us. He provides our supply now. But he also provides strength. Over in 1 Samuel and chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'll just turn you to that. First Samuel 15, and it's the verse 29. It says, and also the strength of Israel. That's a title that's given to him here, to the Lord. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Where it says there, the strength of Israel literally means the changeless one of Israel. Now, God has strengthened you before, and you can recall times when you needed him to strengthen you, and he did that. And he can still do it because it's the same yesterday and today and forever. It says in the word, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Think for just a moment about Samson. Samson had been an instrument in the hand of the Lord. He was tripped up by sin and fell headlong into sin. And he lost his great strength. And for a time, he was the object of the Philistines' jokes. He was just a plaything for them. And if you think of Samson tonight, just a weak and a pitiful man, what a sight it must have been to have beheld him whenever he was a captive there. But he asked the Lord from a true heart for strength one last time, for God's glory and from a true heart. And the Lord strengthened him. And it says in the word of God that Samson slew more in his death than he did in his life. There's a great lesson there for us. You can, and I can be strengthened again right now. Maybe we haven't known much strength in recent times, even spiritually. Maybe the old zeal has ebbed away a little bit. And right now we wish that we had that strength back again. We can, because he provides for us. Remember the strength of Israel. The changeless God of Israel is the one that is always able to strengthen his people. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. If tomorrow is more difficult than today, then you'll get more strength tomorrow. He provides our supply now. He provides our strength, but he also provides our song. He provides our song. Men are naturally constantly seeking for sources of joy, something which we see all the world doing around us. The very lovely verse over there in Zephaniah and the chapter 3 in the verse 17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will sing. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now you think of that verse and think of all of these things that he is to you. And to me, he's in the midst of us. We're not able to meet in our church building at the present time, but he's in your home tonight. He's in the midst of his people. And it says there, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Maybe we ask ourselves the question, why would God, a holy God, want to rejoice over me? Well, he does rejoice over you and over me. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He'll be there with you. And you will know his love. Remember, this is his love we're looking at. Yeah, he loved the people. And then it says, he will joy over thee with singing. And it is a wonderful thing to know that the Lord finds so much joy in his people. But that being the case, can you and I not find our song in him and our joy in him? I'm going to let you into a secret. As I was driving along the motorway earlier on today, I was singing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Really, really pleased that no one else was listening. But you know, I was prompted to sing that as I thought of the Lord joying over me with singing. The world will take your song away. So many young people have set out in life and showed so much potential and warmth in their heart, and love for the Lord, and good acceptance with a great deal of people. And then it's all changed. And they've lost the song. You can have the song back tonight if you get back into fellowship with him. The Lord provides for us our supplies now, our strength, our song. But he provides for us in our serving. Again in Zephaniah chapter 3, says there in verse 9, then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord. And then it says at the end of verse 9, to serve him with one consent. And where it says there to serve him with one consent, again in the Hebrew here, this word consent, it means with one shoulder. Now, it's metaphoric language. It is referring to, when it means here with one shoulder, it is referring, a metaphor taken from the oxen in the yoke. And you have the oxen there together in the yoke. And as they begin to draw a trailer or a plow or whatever it is, they all pull together with one shoulder. They all pull together there with one shoulder. And so, as you and I seek to serve the Lord, he can enable us to do that. They pull together with one shoulder. And if you look in the book of Acts and there in Philippians in chapter 2 and also in the Psalm 33, there's some things I'm just going to mention of the importance of this, of moving together with one shoulder, or as we read in Acts, with one accord. There is intercession together there. There is infilling together. God the Holy Spirit was among the people when they were working well together. There is interest in each other's well-being in Philippians chapter 2 and 2 when we're working together. And in Psalm 133, there is the God invite. We invite God's sanctifying and reviving power. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And that's what we really need. That's what the whole country desperately needs. We need it. I need it. And you need it as well. And God, in his love, provides for us our supply now, our strength, our song, and our serving. Can't really ask for more. We're in a good place tonight, the night of the prayer meeting, to call upon him that he would continue to provide all of these things for us. But there's another thought here. We can also say that in his love, he prepares us. You see, the Lord continues on in you and I through our lives the work of what we call sanctification. It is becoming more like him. The question there in the Shorter Catechism, question 35, many of you are familiar with it, what is sanctification? And then we have the answer. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And that is what we want to do. That's what we need help to do, to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And the Lord is preparing us more and more for his service and making us more and more, conforming us more and more to the image of his Son. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. And I trust tonight, as we get before the throne of grace and prayer, we've much to be thankful for, but we've much to seek the Lord about the future work of the Lord and how the shape things will take as we get back eventually to some semblance of normality. To seek the Lord about our country, seek the Lord about the sick people, seek the Lord for those who are bereaved, for our missionaries and all of the needs that they have. And remember tonight this text in Deuteronomy 33:3. Yea, he loved the people, he plans for us, he provides for us, and he prepares us. And may the Lord bless you tonight, and may you greatly benefit as you take time tonight to seek the Lord in prayer.